Lord Almighty, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. In the Pew Bibles, it is page 1052. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Your introduction this morning, I wonder whether you're into physics or not. At one level, so be it. Some of you will be, some of you won't be. Probably have temperament, intellect, or disposition. I'm pretty much certain, though, because I can count myself in this position, that no one really likes being preached at. And I think one of the reasons why people have this sort of rile within them is, and no one's ever said this to me, because I have to say I'm a preacher, who are you to tell me what to do? So just clear off. Who are you to tell me what to do? For goodness sake. And when you think about it, what's happening now, one person standing here and talking from the Bible and a number of people are listening, is really quite bizarre. I mean, I suppose you could just walk out, but you're too polite. So whether you're into physics or not, I wonder how comfortable are you about being preached at? And Jesus Christ, who's the founder of Christianity, who lived for 3 years before he was crucified and then raised to life from death, spent a bulk of that 3 years of public ministry preaching. But he did it in an absolutely brilliant way so that no one felt they were being preached at. And in order that today you don't feel you're being got at, because when I preach on this parable, that's actually what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to enable you to talk to yourself. I'm going to suggest we say a prayer. Because one of the reasons why Jesus preached in a non-preachy way, he preached in parables, he told a story, was that people could just, they could hear the story, and sometimes the penny dropped and they got it. Sometimes the penny dropped and they got it, and other times they just listened to the story and didn't get the point. So the reason for the prayer is, yeah, okay, the preaching goes all right this morning, you get by without someone feeling like they're telling you what to do, because I don't really want to. I've got no right to tell you how to live your life. All I want to do is to say, well, one day I've got to say to Jesus, I had a good go at this parable, and you told it was your idea, and I want the same effect it had then to have now, so that when people have this conversation with themselves that you were wanting them to have when you first told the parable, they get it. And if you've fallen asleep, and if it makes no difference, then my thinking is, if we say a prayer and you say amen, it's not going to be my fault. Okay? You with me? So pray, because there just so could be something quite good about this for you. That's why Jesus said it. Without further ado, let's pray. Father, we pray that the word written all those years ago might come alive to us now. For the sake of Jesus Christ, who lived, who taught, who died and rose again for each one of us. Amen. So Jesus told a story, and the reason he told a story is, as I've just said, so people weren't feeling got at, although if the penny dropped, maybe they're having a conversation amongst themselves. Let me tell you this story, and I'm a people watcher like Jesus was a people watcher. Spend most of my time on holiday, not reading books or walking, but just sitting watching people go by. And Jesus was watching people as they went to the temple. Let me tell you the story about two people that went to the temple to pray. There was a Pharisee who went to the temple to pray and said, I thank God that I'm not like all these other evildoers and adulterers and people who do wrong, but I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I possess, and I thank God that I'm not like these other people. That's the story of the first person. The second person who went to the temple to pray didn't look down on anyone else. He looked down and beat his breast and said, Lord, I'm in need of your mercy. I'm a sinner. Jesus told that story, and people would have thought, oh, that's very interesting. But he then said, but the point of the story is, you can hear the story but miss the point. The point of the story is, it's the tax collector, the one who said, Lord, have mercy, I'm a sinner, that went home from the temple, feeling better about himself, being righteous, being okay with God. This other person that's done everything right, morally, I don't steal, I don't commit adultery, I pay my taxes, I come to the temple regularly, I give a tenth of all I've got, and furthermore, I thank God that I'm like this. I thank God that I'm like this and not like these other people. This person, he goes home not right with God. Now, why was Jesus preaching like that? Luke actually says Jesus told this story to people who were confident of their own righteousness, who looked down on everyone else. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted, Jesus said. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And this Pharisee, oh, I thank God that I'm not like all these other people. You see, I know where it's at with God. He's with me in my life, and I give all I can to God, and I certainly don't do wrong things. I thank God that, well, I've been rescued from a life like this, and people who live over there and people who do those sorts of things. Oh God, I've blown it. I don't deserve anything from you apart from your judgment. Please have mercy on me. That's the tax collector. There's the two stories. Jesus says, this person is not right with God. This person is. Now let's just step aside from Jesus' story, and we're listening to the vicar now, and this wouldn't be a good physics lesson to end with, an equal and opposite reaction. Go to the top of the class. Okay, I've got the story today, vicar. I've got the story about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Because now, well, I thank God that I'm not like the Pharisee, you see. I don't go around saying, oh, I thank God that I'm not like all these other people, because I'm... No, you've not got it. That really would not be the point of the point. This is a hard one to preach on. Now, in Jesus' day, there were tax collectors who beat their breast, who did awful things to other people. And you know what? There's some interesting psychology, because the horrible you are to other people, the equal opposite reaction is you end up being horrible to yourself. And I reckon this tax collector had had enough of living like that, and he just says, "Oh, have mercy on me. There's something in you, Jesus. Have mercy on me." And the trouble is, every time you pump yourself up, you just want to keep pumping yourself up, because that's what makes you feel good. And no wonder you're not going to be right with God. You'll just explode with yourself. Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Everyone who exalts himself will be flattened. In Jesus' day, there were people like that. Now let me have a go at explaining the point of Jesus' story, not with a parable of two people that went to pray, and this is where we might need the camera, thank you very much, but with a parable of the vicar's two sacks. Pause for a break while the vicar gets his two sacks out. What on earth is happening now? And I wondered this when I thought this one up. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The word humility is the same word from which we get the word to be human, humanity, from which we get the word humus, soil. In the first book of the Bible, it says, "From dust you came, to dust you'll go." When God created us, he created us as human beings. We have a soil about us. We have a humanity about us. We should have a natural humility about us. We're made from the ground, created by God, created by a creator. But the trouble is, the story of the Bible is not a story that actually all things started to grow in this. This is the vicar's compost, okay? Good things grow from good soil. Not so good things grow from not so good soil, and I'll come onto the concrete in a moment. But the Bible says that something went wrong immediately after God created us, and we left him out. And there's a consequence or a difficulty with that for us, because all of a sudden, once we get the other side of Eden, once we get out of the Garden of Eden, once God gives us what we deserve because we've left him out, the rest of the Bible story is a story of needing to find mercy, of needing to find what it means to be human. And so this sack here represents our humanity, represents our humility, or should represent the soil of our lives that actually, once we're alive, we're not actually entitled to anything from God because we've let him down. Sadly, what can happen as life goes through, I mean, this Bible's a wonderful story. It's a story of how people discover mercy. Or should I say how people try to discover mercy and sometimes miss it. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and they don't find God. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Some people do find God. They find mercy, and they go home righteous. The discovery of mercy is so important because you discover what it means to be fully human, fully made in the image of God, created from the ground, created to be humble, created to be human, made in God's image. The discovery of mercy is so important because it's the first thing that needs to happen before you receive what God wants to give you, which is grace and goodness. There's an interesting debate in our current society about nature and nurture. For a while, I was a teacher, and I worked with a hardened lab assistant who'd known a number of teachers over the years, and his assessment was teachers were born, not made. In other words, if you haven't got it, you're never going to have it. Some people say that about leaders. Some leaders are born, they're not made. The trouble is, once you're born, you should be grateful or wanting to find from God mercy. But there's something about our nature which says, I won't listen to it. I won't have it. I will try and sort the humanity of my life out myself. All that God has given me, I'll work hard, I'll try hard, I'll even give a tenth of all I have. I'll even try and work hard, and I'll even thank God for it, because I'm the one that's doing it. That's not mercy. That's overplaced self-confidence. As soon as the problem, which is the problem of nature, within every one of us, even dear Harper, isn't she wonderful? Wonderful headband or sweatband. It shouldn't be called that, it's a beautiful bow. The problem within every one of us is everyone thinks we're entitled to something, whereas actually the only thing we need to ask for is mercy, and God wants to give us that. Please don't let your lives turn to concrete. I thank God that I'm not like all these other people. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need to admit I've got a problem, because actually I'm entitled to everything. I'm entitled to what God should give me. Jesus was standing there, and I think this tax collector had realized that actually he needs him. Either there was something in his life that made him think to himself, I need mercy, or he'd been looking and thinking about Jesus Christ and wondered, why is this man here? Why is he teaching me? Why is he healing? Why is he coming to give his life as a ransom for things that I've done wrong in my life so that they can be forgiven? How do we learn this language of mercy? Well, I was reflecting on this. I mean, the parable of this publican and tax collector is interesting, but the trouble is we're not in those days now. We don't have tax collectors and we don't have righteous people parading how good they are before God in the public eye. The Church of England uses the language of mercy in its communion service in this particular way. Let me just read one of the very first prayers that are said. I know a wonderful man who seems to exhibit for me something of this. I'm not entitled to anything in life. Life is a gift for me, and including the gift of Jesus Christ. And he actually says this prayer every day. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. There is a slightly more fancy prayer that this publican said. Lord, have mercy. Here's my heart open before you. Cleanse me. I need you, Jesus. That's the soil and humanity of my life. Or later on in the service book, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. The very last prayer before you receive communion. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. Do you hear the story? I'm confident. I thank God that I'm not like all these other people. Lord, have mercy. Which are you? Soil, willing to admit that actually you don't, or you're not entitled to anything from God, we simply need to receive his forgiveness? Or is there a hardness? It's my way. It's my life. And I can even thank God that it's my life. Friends, I didn't make this up. But after Jesus told the story, the conclusion of the matter is not equal and opposite reaction. Well, I guess there is some of that there. Whoever exalts himself is going to be ultimately humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Out of the soil of our humanity, if we recognize we don't deserve anything from God, and we admit that, the paradox is he gives us himself. Be a human being. In the soil of your life, admit that you need Jesus Christ. And when you admit that, he will come in and be part of your life. And you know what? Sometimes you can see that. There's an equal and opposite reaction. For every prayer you make, there's someone that visits. And the soil of your humanity and your humility and your life will be the better for it. Let's pray together. Lord, you know all things. You know the life we've lived, the troubles and the joys we've had. And you know how we've been affected by this morning's sermon. We pray for your mercy, that Jesus Christ would be ever more real to us, and the soil of our lives would have humility about them to receive his goodness and his love. For once again, we cast ourselves on your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.